Hi, my name is Blythe Alberg, and I would like to welcome you to the Cut the Fat podcast. Visit us at www.cutthefatpodcast.com. If you're new to us, we suggest that you listen to the first 3 to 5 podcasts for the basic toolbox on fat loss.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. I am Dr. Ray Heinisch, and I'm joined here in the studio with, of course, the wonderful Blythe.
Now, hi, everybody.
You know, I know, Blythe, you've got a ton of stuff going on in your life right now.
Yeah. And fun stuff. Exciting news.
Yes, you're making a big move, right?
We are. My husband and I are moving to Florida. However, that does not mean the podcasts are going anywhere.
She's not going to break up the band.
I promise. I'll be back.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, you're coming on a fairly regular schedule, you know, to train people up here.
Should be every second week. I should be up here. So I'm looking forward to that. It'd be a great way for me to continue what I'm doing and a nice little breakaway, too.
Yeah, and we're going to try to record multiple podcasts at a time so that we don't leave you guys hanging. So we're just going to continue on doing our thing.
Yeah, I know some of you listeners don't like to wait too long between podcasts. We often get requests on our Facebook page with you guys saying, hurry, when's the next podcast coming? I can hardly wait. So get involved. Get on our Facebook page, www.facebook.com, and just search Cut the Fat Podcast, all one word. And like our page. You can join our page, get on the discussion board. You can ask questions on the homepage, whatever you like. Read our motivational quotes. We've got all sorts of stuff going on there. So
definitely. So let's go ahead and get started with the discussion. What do you say?
Yeah, sounds good. What's the topic?
We're going to be talking about this epidemic that's going on in our society.
Okay.
And I don't think it's happening just here in the States. I think it's happening all over the world. And it is this epidemic of living a sedentary lifestyle.
Mm.
Now, we're not necessarily talking about exercise. I think more people exercise today than probably have ever exercised in history of human existence, right?
Yeah.
I mean, there are more gyms around. I mean, we don't need any more gyms, do we?
Oh. I've got to tell you, if you do like a 15-mile radius search for gyms in your area, they are abundant. I don't care where you live.
Yeah. It's very true.
Isn't it crazy? There's so many places to work out, yet
we're still having this problem with weight.
Yeah, and, major problems.
And I think the issue, and this is what we're discussing today, exercise versus activity.
Mm.
You know, we could kind of play devil's advocate and go back and forth about which is best. The truth is, it's probably best to do both, given the way we have our lifestyle set up, isn't it?
A combination of both is always best.
Here's one of the big problems. The average American, I don't know what it's like in Australia or Pakistan or England, you know, and a lot of our listeners are from those areas, but in the States, the average American spends 4 to 5 hours in front of a TV. 4 to 5 hours of their lives every single day in front of a television, sitting on a couch, probably stuffing their face with some sort of snack food.
Right. Do you ever sit on the couch watching TV just like hungry?
Yeah. And you know what?
That doesn't happen.
Yeah, you know, and what happens is, what are you watching when you're sitting there watching TV? It's typically, you know, probably 20% of the time commercials for food.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Oh, I've got to tell you, whenever I'm dieting for a bodybuilding show, whenever I'm going without, I notice those commercials. Things that I would never even eat look absolutely delicious to me.
You're telling me.
But yeah, especially at nighttime.
And they've literally studied this. And in fact, you know, these commercials spark the parts of the brain that are responsible for hunger. And
right.
So you end up becoming hungry even though you're not necessarily hungry when you sat down on the couch.
Yeah.
And it's not from using energy, is it? Yeah. That hunger doesn't come from burning calories.
It's not a true hunger.
No, it's not. And, you know, research at Brigham Young University discovered that spending more than 3 hours, seems to be the threshold. If you spend more than 3 hours in front of a television, it doubles your risk of obesity compared to 1 hour or less.
Wow.
Another study, which was published in the Journal of the American Dietetics Association, found that 4 hours of television increased the likelihood of obesity by 400%. And now there's this term called the super obese, which are people that are way outside that range of obesity.
Supersized.
That's right. And so the, you know, a lot of this has to do with the television. And, you know, I don't want to just focus on the television. I'm focusing more on the fact that our lifestyles in general, and I'm not talking about the 30 minutes to 60 minutes that we spend in the gym. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the rest of the time. What about the other 23 hours? What are we spending there? Obviously, 7 to 8 of that should be in the form of sleep, right?
Right.
But what about the rest?
So what do you do during the workday? What are you doing after school if you're a student?
Literally, when you sit and you're motionless for 60 minutes, your body's biochemistry changes. It changes in such a way that actually promotes fat storage. It slows metabolism, it decreases blood flow, and it increases fat storage.
And at the same time, makes you feel more tired because all of those things are going on.
Right.
So it really is a vicious circle, especially when you're eating junk food and then you feel worse for eating the junk food, so you sit on the couch even longer.
Right. And even when they account for the extra snacking, they thought about that. They said, well, maybe this extra weight is coming from people who are, you know, stuffing food down their throats.
Eating extra
while
calories.
While they're watching calories. Mm-hmm. While they're watching TV. And what they discovered was, that was an important component of it. But there appears to be something outside of that that plays a role, because that couldn't explain all of the results that they discovered.
Mm.
So it seems as though the activity level, or the lack thereof,
right,
is setting the stage for the obesity. And I've discussed this in the past, where we talked about what I believe to be the primary reason why people in our society are overweight. It has to do with this disconnect that we have between movement and eating and survival.
Yeah.
It used to be, when we were living in the bush, that we had to move in order to eat. We would not eat if we didn't get out there and hunt down our food or go out and gather our food, you know, probably walking over miles and miles to gather enough food for one day.
Right. It took physical activity to acquire whatever food. It is you were going to ingest. Yeah.
Right. And food was necessary for your survival.
Right.
Now, what do we have? We don't have any connection between movement and food. We can get food, you know, sitting on our couch.
I was going to say, you might be able to reach the pantry from your easy chair.
Yeah. Yeah. And who doesn't have food sitting next to their couch? I mean, I have a little canister of cashews that has, if you add up all the calories, probably 700 calories in that one canister that's within arm's reach. And that would be considered a quote-unquote healthier food.
Right. Oh, that's dangerous.
Yeah, it is dangerous. It is dangerous. But it's even more dangerous when that canister is filled with Pringles.
Yeah.
Or pretzels.
Or Lay's
or
potato chips.
Lay's
Nobody can eat just
chips.
One.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. Actually, someone had mentioned on our Facebook page eating Doritos. I said, what's the worst food that you can think of to eat? And a lot of people said, like, donuts and fried foods. We all know those things are bad, but be careful when you buy things like you said, Pringles. You know, you feel like you're choosing a healthier type of chip. If you eat 50 of them, it's still an issue. So even, you know, having nuts right there, the calorie is a calorie. And if you're doing the whole mindless eating thing, it's going to catch up.
And, you know, they talked about that in the mindless eating book. He talked about the fact when you're sitting watching television or even having a conversation, you actually consume more than if you were to sit and you know, have silence around you and just focus your attention on the consumption,
yeah,
on eating the food.
We'd probably get tired of eating for that amount of time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, if you weren't watching TV and you were paying attention to what you're doing, your jaw would probably get tired. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
You know, according to Robert Cooper, he wrote the book, Flip the Switch, Lose the Weight. He says, he puts it all into perspective by saying one thing, and that is your metabolism relies on the signals that you send it.
Okay.
And so
signals from the food, signals from your activity, signals, period, everything.
Yeah, all of it, you know? Isn't that the truth? I mean, food is information. We know that. We talked about that in the past.
I love that, actually. I'm gonna put that out there one day just for people to read. Food is information.
Food is information. Activity is information, isn't it?
Yes. I think people see exercise as information faster or more readily than they see food as information.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, you can look at your caloric intake or your carbohydrate intake or your protein intake and you could eat 50 Pringles or you could eat a bowl of rice. They're going to send different information to your body even though they're the same amount of carbohydrates.
Yes.
Yeah, which I think a lot of people don't think about that. I think they look at the micronutrients of the foods that they're eating and maybe calculate them, but they don't actually look at where the food is coming from and the type of information it's going to send to your brain.
Yeah, and, you know, going along those same lines, if the food that you're consuming is full of carbohydrates and full of calories but devoid in things like vitamins, minerals, and phytochemicals, again, a different message is being sent to the body than if you're getting those nutrients with those calories.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's, I think, a big part of the issue as well. But, you know, going back to the discussion on, you know, how your metabolism relies on the signals that you send it in reference to activity and exercise, why don't we just speak briefly about what is the difference? Because people don't really differentiate between the word activity and the word exercise. To me, there's a difference.
Yeah, me too. Actually, I think of activity. Can I go first?
Oh, absolutely.
I think of activity as me getting up in the morning, getting my kids ready for school, chasing a couple of them around and trying to get them dressed, driving everybody around, which is totally sedentary. I mean, I'm sitting in the car. However, once I'm done with that, I'll go do my own type of activity. I don't have a desk job. I don't sit down very often during the day. I actually make a conscious effort to sit down or take a little break during the day because I'm on my feet all day and I will get super tired. Activity level to me is going outside and playing with my kids, cleaning up the house, sweeping the floor, you know, picking something, some sort of chore for me to do that is active. Even washing your car is something that's active.
Totally. You know, and people, they hate cleaning their house. Now, if you have a house that's generally not very clean, then maybe you can start utilizing this mentality, which is, okay, I'm going to get more active in my entire life to make that change. I mean, nobody likes to live in a house that's not clean, right? I mean, even bachelors don't like the fact that they're, you know, that they're living around, you know, empty pizza boxes and
make
beer
a list. You can make a list and say, I'm going to fold all the laundry that's sitting on the floor today. Or, you know, whatever.
While you're watching TV, you can be standing folding laundry.
That's exactly right. And that is so much more active than sitting there. You probably won't be snacking while you're folding laundry because you're standing up and your hands are busy. Same thing as like when you go to the grocery store, you know, that's an activity. If you are someone who delays going to the grocery store, get up and do it. Park a little farther away than you normally would. Make that be an activity for the day.
You know, according to the journal Science, people who are overweight feel compelled to sit. In fact, naturally thin people, get this is crazy. Naturally thin people, people who don't struggle with weight, spend an additional 152 minutes a day in motion. And we're not talking exercise motion. We're talking about just daily activity, fidgeting, walking around. Mm-hmm. They even find that they, you know, when they're watching TV, they get up and they go around the house a lot more often than people who are typically overweight. It's like a natural propensity towards movement and activity. Mm-hmm. And we've talked about this with the fat lab rat, right?
Yes. That's a great analogy.
It happens in lab animals. When lab animals become overweight, they just naturally don't move.
So how do we go about correcting this? Do you get rid of the extra weight first and then become active, or do you do both?
Blythe. Did you just ask if you lose weight before you get healthy?
Hey, no. That's not what I said. Do you get active if you're heavy and you feel like you want to sit down and watch a movie? I cannot sit down and watch an entire movie, okay? I may be ADD, but I just can't sit there for that long. For me, I'm too active. That's just my lifestyle. But say a friend of mine is overweight and she wants to sit down and watch two movies. She wants to have a movie marathon with me. That's really something I don't want to do. I want to be active. Mm-hmm. I'll probably spend the time in the room with her, but doing other things. Now, if I get her up and moving with me, will she tend to feel like she wants to do that next time instead of watching more movies?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, how...
What comes first, the activity or the weight loss?
Well, we can't,
I know they go hand in hand, and I don't mean to keep interrupting you, but
yeah. Well, we can't rely on our internal signals when we have extra weight on board because they're not functioning properly.
Okay, that's exactly what I was hoping you would say.
Yes,
because you are going to at some point have to force yourself into a level of discomfort, whether it's moving around or, you know, watching what you're eating or choosing not to snack. You're going to have to push yourself outside of that, what you feel like you would do, because what you're doing is what got you where you are today.
Absolutely, right? That's the case. And so we can't, you know, we can't just expect things to change, you know, just because we think them so. It just doesn't work that way. Yeah. You're going to have to take some conscious effort. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to say, okay, let's change the patterns that we're in. Right now, you're in a pattern. You may come home from work. You may sit on the couch. Mm-hmm. You may relax in front of the TV for 3, 4, 5, 6 hours. It, you know, the average is 4 to 5 hours, but there are people on this planet who are sitting for 6-7 hours in front of a television. A lot of our kids, and this is a big reason why I think a lot of our kids are overweight now, because it used to be they'd go out and play football or baseball or soccer. Now they sit on a couch and they play football and baseball and soccer while watching video games.
I know.
And they get their thumbs get good exercise, but that's about it.
Yeah.
And so, and it's intoxicating. You'll see these kids, they will literally look like they are on drugs playing these video games. Mm-hmm. It's crazy. We can't let this happen anymore. If, you know, if you're a parent and you're listening to this podcast and your kids are doing this, you know, you got to get there and you got to say that enough's enough, guys. If you want to play video games, you get 1 hour a day on the video games, and you've got to spend 2 hours actually playing whatever, you know, sport you're playing on on that PlayStation. You know?
I think that's a great rule to go by. I think limiting time in front of video games, because kids haven't really fallen into a pattern where that's something that their body is telling them to do. They're doing it because it's there. So if you limit their amount of time and you say, hey, listen, why don't you go outside for, you know, I'll call you inside at 5 o'clock for dinner or whatever. You've got 2 hours to go outside. They'll probably find an activity to do. Naturally, kids, unless they're completely obese and they've already fallen into that
pattern,
that fat rat pattern.
Yeah.
Right. Then they're probably going to go outside and get active. Even if your children are already overweight, it may be reversible right now, but you're going to have to guide them in that direction.
And you're going to have to set the right example as well.
Yes.
You can't be sitting watching television for four to six hours
and
a night.
And say, go play outside.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. You go play with them. This is time for you to be active as well.
Be active.
You know, so here's what happens. After 30 minutes of inactivity. Why are you looking at me like that?
I'm not sure. I'm always interested in what you have to say. I love listening to the tips.
All right. Okay. After 30 minutes of inactivity, this is what happens. Your body sends out signals. It says, okay, this guy's going to be here for a while. It sends out signals in the form of hormones that change the way the body functions. Like I said, blood circulation decreases, oxygen uptake actually goes down, and the hormonal signals force the body into what Dr. Cooper calls a mini hibernation.
Okay.
You know, what is hibernation? Hibernation, bears go out and they hibernate because they're conserving energy. Mm-hmm. So literally their metabolism changes during time of hibernation compared to when they're actually up and around.
Right.
It actually slows down significantly.
And to conserve.
To conserve. Mm-hmm. And that's what you're basically sending your body into. Now, after an hour of inactivity, these signals are basically shored up in your body. So now your body is really in a state of like a sedentary way.
I'm just thinking as we're saying this, we're sitting here.
Yeah,
we've been sitting for 30 minutes maybe, but neither of us are like in our chair. Both of us are moving our hands. We're like bouncing up and down in our seats.
Yeah, I wish you guys could see this.
We're active.
Yeah, like as you say that, I'm thinking about that. You're right. I mean, I'm here. I'm making motions with my hands.
Yeah.
And
we're high-fiving, chest bumping.
Oh, yeah. What?
Anyway, I think when people fall into that natural feel-good rhythm, it continues on. But you're going to have to get yourself on the course.
Yes. You know, what kinds of things can you do? You know, that's the next step is, you know, what's the solution to all this? So let's throw a few things out there. I mean, number one, we've talked about very early on in our podcasting careers, we talked about the 30-30 plan, right? This is, you know, one of the best ways to make a difference in your life is to set new patterns and say, you know what, this is the way it's going to be. So one way of doing that and kind of shocking your system is to do the 30-30 plan, which is you decide right now, here now, to exercise 30 minutes a day for the next 30 days, weekends and holidays included.
Mm-hmm. Nonstop. You have to do it for 30 days straight.
Yep. And, you know, it can just be walking. If you're really sedentary right now, it could just be walking. It could be going out and just going for a very simple, relaxed walk.
Sure.
30 minutes, 30 days. We're not interested in how many calories you're burning here, are we?
No. It's creating the habit of activity. And that's a great way to start. For those of you who find yourself sitting in front of the television, you know, take it upon yourself to make yourself go out and go for a little walk.
Here in the office, you know, we think we can't make changes in our office. But here in my office, you know, my customer service staff, they will every 30 to 40 minutes, they will get up and they will call a meeting, and they will do push-ups. And
wow.
They will just do 1 minute of push-ups, or they'll do 1 minute of planks, or they'll do 1 minute of lunges. And then they go right back to their chairs, and they go back to work.
I want to come work here. I would have like an organized... Oh, that would be fun.
Literally.
I'd have a contest going on like every 40 minutes.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they do. And it's really great to see. You know, they'll walk. You know, I know Kathleen, who's our customer service manager, will walk over and get my COO, which is Hunter, to come out to the customer service. And they force Hunter to do it as well. So
yeah.
Everybody has this kind of camaraderie built around fitness and health. And so it's really cool to see. And when they do it and when they don't do it, you can feel the difference in the environment.
Yeah.
They're not nearly as productive, not nearly as happy. And, you know, that's important when you're in customer service. You've got to be happy.
Why can't some of our listeners try that at their office?
Yeah, totally. Totally. And there are other sneaky things. Let's give them some sneaky tips as well.
Okay.
If you have the worst boss in the world, the boss won't allow you to do it. Basically, every 30 to 40 minutes, you excuse yourself to the bathroom. And you go to the bathroom, you just go to the bathroom on a different floor, and you walk up the stairs, or you run up the stairs, and you don't need much activity. Literally, if you do 60 seconds of intense activity, mm-hmm. you change your chemistry. And what's fascinating is, you know, you get a spike in metabolism from that intense activity, and it takes time for that activity level to drop. It doesn't just go up and right back down.
Right.
It can take half an hour to an hour for your metabolism to go right back down to the baseline level.
And you feel great.
And
you release endorphins.
Right.
I mean, you've got, yeah. There's nothing bad about it.
There's
other than you need
it.
To get up and walk to the restroom.
Hey, standing burns twice as many calories as sitting.
Awesome. Easy.
Yeah. If you happen to have an office and you happen to have some clout in your business, you know, you could do what I do, which is get a Trek desk, which is a treadmill desk. And the treadmill desks, great. I walk 6 to 10 miles a day, and I'm doing all my work while I'm doing
it.
I'm
walking at a slow pace, and
2 miles per hour. It's like nothing. And so when you're working for 6 hours and you walk 2 miles per hour during that time, that's 12 miles right
there.
That's
awesome.
You can't beat that. And man, I my intention is one day, you know, when we can afford this, I'm going to get a treadmill desk for whoever wants it back there in customer service.
Sure.
I mean, how else could I have such a positive impact on the people's health than to get them moving 6 to 10 miles a day? Gosh, you can't beat that.
Yeah.
And it's activity, so it's not stressful to the body.
Awesome.
It's not exercise. It's activity.
Yeah.
Because it's not actually changing. It's not stressing the body in the same way that running for at 70 to 80%
of your
pace
max, or, mm-hmm.
right, would for an hour. So there's a little sneaky tip. Just say, yeah, I gotta go to the bathroom. Hop up and then walk or run up the stairs to maybe two or three floors above you and use their bathroom.
I've got another sneaky tip.
Oh, give it to me.
If you've got a stairwell, you can run up and down the stairs like 6 times.
Mm-hmm.
Like run up the stairs, run down. Run up the stairs, run down. And if it's behind a closed door, who cares? Nobody sees you.
Exactly.
Right?
You could, if you've got an office, you just close the door. There are a couple of contraptions that I think you can get for your office. Number one is called the X-Sizer.
Yes.
X, the letter X, S-I-Z-E-R. And I have one in my office. You can actually, if you go to our website, cutthefatpodcast.com, it's under the resources. You can get to it that way. I just got attacked by a bug. Is it still on me?
No, it's down. It fell on a chair.
What was that?
It was little. It was like a little beetle, or maybe a firefly or something.
It looked like a bee to me. It looked like a bee.
It did for a moment. That was funny. I'm just glad. It was funny because
hilarious.
It wasn't me. That's why.
Thanks for your help. You know, for all you know, I could have been allergic to this bee. And
but it wasn't a bee, and I knew that. Okay. So the X-Sizer, we do have a link on there.
Yeah, the resources. You go to the resources on Cut the Fat Podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do you actually use yours?
I do. I do. Yeah. And you can just, all you do is you sprint on it. It's fantastic. And that's one way.
My husband makes fun of that.
I know he does. But, you know, when he did it, man, he was.
I'm sure his calves were pumped for like 3 days.
Your whole leg gets pumped.
I'm sure.
Amazing.
I'm sure. That's cool.
But basically, the purpose of that is to do a 60-second sprint.
Mm-hmm.
And then you sit back and go back to work.
And it's teeny tiny. You could stick it under your desk. It's mm-hmm. so small.
Yep.
So that's a cool piece of equipment.
It is a little embarrassing to do. So you probably should have a door you can close if you're going to be doing that. There's another thing you can go. You can actually go on Amazon.com and places like that, and you can get these jump ropes. They're like ropeless jump ropes.
Oh, yeah, I've seen those.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you could even do it without the thing and right. just hold a pen in each hand if you wanted you to could, or something like that.
And it reminds me of a skit that my girlfriend Kara always points out on Saturday Night Live. You know, they're joking about the it was a skit about like 1980s aerobic
okay.
fitness, and like Drew Barrymore was in it, and they're like, you know, if you know, first you start off with these weights. If these weights are too heavy, then you can go down. And they go to the next person. She's like, yes, pencils. And she's like curling pencils, and then the next one's like air, curling air. And so, yeah, you can use pens if you like, or get one of these things. They're fun, you know? They're fun, and they can keep track of how many jumps you did as well.
And, you know, people are always looking to buy fun gifts for each other or office party gifts, things like that. Those are great ideas to give to your coworkers.
Oh, yeah, totally. And mm-hmm. and once you get one involved, it kind of spreads like wildfire.
It does.
Because people feel better, you know? So, definitely. Here's a really great tip. All right. According to Dr. Bryant Stanford, author of the book Fitness Without Exercise, I don't even think this book is around anymore. I think it's out of print. Okay. But I have practically every book on health and fitness out there, even the ones that aren't even around anymore.
I love it. And I have a few of yours in my library now.
Yes, you do. That's why I'm never giving her another one of my books. I'll just give her the link.
Oh, I'll give them back. Do you want them back?
We'll see.
Okay.
Fitness Without Exercise is the name of this book. And it says we should each burn a minimum of 2,000 calories in activity, which means work or leisure, per day. It's what he calls the RWA, which is the recommended, I don't remember what that stands for, something allowance. What would W be?
workout.
I don't know. I'll look it up for you guys. But it's basically like the RDA of activity.
Sure. Okay.
And that is basically you should be looking for 2,000 calories worth of activity in work and leisure per week.
Hmm.
So, you know, he really drew a chart. He drew a chart in the book that was pretty interesting to me. And that was he showed, you know, what people do if they hit the gym for like 30 to 45 minutes, 3 days a week. You know, you burn this many calories. Let's say you burn 250 calories per workout, you know, so that's a total of 750 calories for three workout sessions. But then he showed the next chart, which is if you just did, you know, let's say 150 calories of activity each day, 7 days a week,
mm-hmm.
it adds up to more than what you get just from those 3 days of exercise. People always focus on the exercise, but there's so much potential to burn calories and burn excess calories, obviously.
Just through regular activity.
And fun stuff. And he's like, why are we spending so much time and so much effort working out in the gym and we hate it when we have all these wonderful things? We can go dancing. We can go play badminton and racquetball with friends. We can go and go for walks through the mall. We can do all kinds of fun stuff that we actually enjoy or are productive. We can work in the house, clean the house, turn the house cleaning into an aerobic activity.
Sure.
You can go on, you can find these weighted vests. Wear the weighted vest while you're cleaning your house.
Now that's just something I would do.
Totally. I actually have done that. And that's something that I think is great. Aim for like 2,000 calories in activity through work and leisure through the week.
Okay.
It doesn't take much,
that's
really.
That's simple.
What's that per day? It's like a total of total activity. You know,
not even 300.
I'm so bad at math. 2,000 divided by 7.
Yeah, it's somebody, not even 300.
Yeah.
oh my God, where's the calculator?
If it's if we've got 7 days a week, yeah, you're right. It's not even 300.
It's like 280 or something.
And
ooh, am I better at math than you?
You probably are. Yeah, you probably are.
At least I'm better at something.
You're better at many things. Trust me on that. But, yeah, so we're talking less than 300 calories a day.
Easy.
Is that crazy?
Yeah.
And that's 2,000 calories. And that wouldn't take any effort for you and I.
Yeah.
For some of our listeners, it might be hard for you guys to get to that level. But trust me, there will come a day when it won't be hard, will it?
Right. Well, make a little list of things you enjoy doing and pick one to try per day. Find what you really enjoy doing and go from there.
Yep.
Easy way to implement.
I think so. You know, so why does all this stuff work? Well, we believe it works for a number of reasons. Number one, whenever you move, even just standing up from your desk, you actually turn off this hormone called lipoprotein lipase.
Mm-hmm.
That's the hormone that causes fat to be stored. It doesn't take much activity to do that. And number two, are you watching TV on your
no.
On your
I'm
cell
not,
phone?
No.
Am I boring you, Blythe?
No. I'm totally listening. Sorry, guys, we're off track. No, the babysitter's sending me information.
Oh, that's cool. So, what was I saying?
Activity.
Lipoprotein lipase. So any activity you do turns off this hormone that's actually storing fat.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're sitting, you're storing fat.
You know what? Okay, I totally just thought of something that I find really fun that I realized is an activity that actually takes work. And I wouldn't have thought this, but I haven't done it in 10 years. And I did it, and it was challenging. I sat on a swing and pumped my legs, like, to swing hard for, like, 10 minutes the other day. Mm. That was a lot of fun. My kids were at the park. I was watching them, so they were having fun running around playing. I was on the swing, easy, totally leisurely, felt great. My heart rate was up.
Why not, you know?
It was fun. It was easy. You guys, go to the park with your kids. Get active.
Now, you know, now that you're going to be down at the ocean.
Yeah.
You know, one thing, you know, I went to Puerto Rico. This was probably 2 years ago when I was in Puerto Rico. I have family down there. And we were on the beach. And I went and decided, okay, I'm going to hop in the ocean. So I hop in the ocean. And I decide I'm going to go swim. I'm going to go for a nice long swim. And I haven't swam in probably a decade.
Okay.
So I'm thinking, oh, I'm here, I'm fit, I can, you know, I do all this interval training, I do all this activity. I made it literally like 20 feet, pumping my arms and legs, yeah. And I was out.
Yeah.
Like, just because you can do activity for, you know, 60 minutes or 2 hours in one way, like, let's say jogging or running, I could literally probably run at a good pace for probably 2 hours. I couldn't make it like 20 feet swimming. Yeah.
Totally different type of activity.
It totally is. So I'm interested.
Change it up.
I'd like to see how you do next time. Seeing as you're
swimming?
Moving to Florida, yeah.
Yeah, not so good. I'm not the best swimmer. It's challenging for me, and I have to be honest. You know, something that challenging makes me not want to do it. But I'm the type of person where if you put a challenge out there, I might just
Let me know how you do.
Okay.
Just go out and just go for one swim.
Okay. I'm moving to the golf.
It's humbling. It is humbling to even a very fitness minded person. When you can't even manage it, it really does give you respect for people like
triathletes
and Olympic swimmers and such.
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, I was thinking, you know, why are they making such a big deal out of Phelps? You know, now I know.
Hey, he's in great condition.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I wonder if he could do HIIT training with me though.
Hey, very true. What happened with Lance Armstrong? He tried to be a marathoner.
Mm-hmm.
He failed miserably.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not built for marathon. He's built for riding a bike. You know. Anyway, we're getting off track. That's kind of the discussion. I think that what I want, I guess, my goal for that discussion was to get people to start thinking differently about exercise and activity. Exercise is really around because we don't have a lot of activity in our lives.
Right. And exercise is like targeted or planned activity, where activity, daily activity, is something that we should constantly be doing.
Yes.
And it doesn't really take the planning or the effort. It's just something that you do because you're moving.
Yeah. I mean, if you were a construction worker, do you really have to go into a gym, lift weights and exercise? Probably not.
Mm-hmm.
You're probably very active during your job, you know?
Yeah.
And so you got to kind of take it all in and just basically look at your own lifestyle and see, you know, what's a good mix for me? If I have a very sedentary lifestyle then I'll have to work out more in a gym.
Mm-hmm.
I'll have to exercise more to account for that.
Right.
And that's the whole purpose of exercise, is to make up for all of the, you know, sedentary work that we do throughout the whole rest of the day.
Right. We did have an interesting post up on Facebook. Somebody asked for a typical workout program, and it's never going to be the same for anybody, because I don't know, you know, what anybody does during the day, and it will be completely different for me as it would for you.
Yeah, and it depends on where you are in your path as well. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about this is a really great topic in a coming podcast, and that is, you know, we talk about the impact of interval training on how that really does work well for fat loss.
Okay.
But there is a certain group in the population for which that is not a good idea.
Mm, okay.
And we're going to get into a very deep discussion as to when that is. I can just give you guys, just because we have a little bit of time left, I'll give you guys a little teaser. If you are an extremely stressed person, if you have a lot of stress in your life, and you throw interval training on top of that, that is not going to not necessarily going to work well for you because it's throwing more stress on top of already, you know, a lot of stress.
Okay.
And so that's just basically makes the whole adrenal system fail even further. So for people who are extremely stressed, you may do better just getting on a walking program where it's not really sending your body into a kind of hormonal
or a stressed state.
Mm-hmm. Right. So that's just an example. You know, you're right. Each person is different. And you know what? Your exercise program will likely change as you progress along your path as well.
It'll have to. As you age, depending on the daily activities that you do, it will change.
Even depending upon the day, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, 100%.
We talked about that when we talked about the eye of the lamb versus the eye of the tiger. Oh. Okay. We're going to make t-shirts. TM. We trademarked that.
Okay.
We'll make t-shirts. Anyway, that's all I got for today. I think we've spoken enough.
Yeah. I'm running out of words to use, Ray.
All right.
It's unlike me.
Do we have to give any announcements or anything?
You know what? I would love for all of our listeners who've subscribed to our podcast. If you haven't subscribed yet, please go onto iTunes and do so. But I would love for you guys to rate us. We've got some new ratings up there. Have you read them?
Yeah,
this week?
Very nice.
Yeah, we've got some really cool ratings up there, nice things that people say about us. But that helps us climb the ladder to be a more successful and easily accessible
podcast
for you guys.
Yeah, and tell your friends. I mean, if you guys can just like kind of conspire to get like 30 or 40 friends to sign up all at once, I think that when they hit in big chunks like that, I think it causes the ratings of the podcast to go up. I'd love for iTunes to pick us up as one of their premier podcasts, which happens when people, you know, when there's a higher level of popularity. So that's our goal. I mean, our main goal here is to get the word out, is to try to get this information out to people. And hopefully, you know, we can do that.
Yeah, I think we are doing it. I think we're doing a great job. Actually, we've been at it for a little over a year now. And I think that a lot of our listeners are now sharing with others. So keep doing that, guys.
Yeah, we'd love to hear your testimonials. We've gotten some really great, you know, before and after pictures from you guys.
Yeah.
It's really, really very cool. So
it's inspirational to us.
Definitely. Thank you guys for tuning in. Again, we're going to leave you with the Grilled Lincolns. Check them out at www.grilledlincolns.com. Email those guys. Tell them that you heard them on Cut the Fat podcast, and that you love their music. We'll see you guys next time on Cut the Fat podcast.
Bye now.
Flops in the snow.